let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Thank you for joining us on the program. Kathleen Brady, PCC, serves as Executive Director of Career Services and Adjunct Instructor at Georgie and Court University and is CEO of Brady & Associates Career Planners. She has more than 25 years of experience helping students and professionals identify and integrate their personal and professional goals. She's an ICF Professional Certified Career Life Management Coach, author, motivational speaker, inspiring people to discern their calling, and offers practical action steps to design comprehensive career life strategies to live purposeful, joyful lives. A frequent contributor to Your Money in the New York Daily News. Also shared her expertise on Fox News, CNN, NPR, First Business Report, radio stations across the country. She's published 4 books about job hunting. Her latest, Get a Job, 10 Steps to Career Success. We've talked about it on the program before. She's got a weekly blog, Must Read, Mastering the Art of Success. That's available at her website, kbcareerplanners.com. Back with us on This Week in America, Kathleen Brady. Welcome back. It's great to talk with you again.
It's great to be here.
There are always so many things to talk about, and it's interesting because you wrote an article a few weeks ago, kind enough to share it with me, and it's like, okay, this we really need to talk about this. How to get experience without experience. You've got people that are changing careers that are looking at this. You've got first-time job seekers. You've got graduates right now that are like, wait a minute, I just went to school for 4 years. I don't have a whole lot of what you consider to be experience. Talk about how do we get over that experience required and we don't think we have it.
The thing is, it's all in how you tell the story, particularly for people coming right out of college. They think, if I haven't gotten paid for something, I don't have experience. But it's interesting because everything you've done up till this point, all of the courses that you've taken, the leadership positions that you've held in college and at your church or synagogue or in your community, all of those things are actually experience. And the thing I always want people to know is, and the National Association of Colleges and Employers did a survey, and they talked about what do employers expect from new college graduates. They're not asking for a particular major. They're asking for things like, can this person think critically? Do they have a strong work ethic? What are their communication, both oral and written? What are their leadership capabilities? Their intercultural fluency. All of those things you get in college. You get it through your senior thesis. You get, or senior projects that you're working on. You get it on, being part of a team or head of student government. And as I said, you have to learn how to tell your story well. That's the key to all of this.
So often when we think experience required, we think it's experience that we got because we have a paycheck. If we don't have a pay stub, we really don't have that experience. And you're saying, no, everything you, as a student, everything you've done for 4 years counts towards experience, towards one of these critical skills you're talking about.
Absolutely. And even for people who are making a career transition from one industry or one type of work to another, you can't just say, no, I don't have any experience, and kind of slink away. And my personal example of that is one time after having been in higher ed for a number of years, I had applied for a job in sales. And the person said to me, you have no sales experience, to which I was able to say, well, that's not true. I don't have sales experience the way that you're used to seeing it in terms of measured in terms of dollars and cents, but I'm constantly selling my students to employers and saying you should be hiring my students. I'm constantly selling the different programs I'm doing on campus to my students. So I have a very different metrics to look at. So instead of dollars and cents, I can tell you, and I don't remember what the numbers are at the moment, but it was, I increased student participation in events by X amount, or I was able to help students secure employment and increase that number. So if I had just kind of slunked away and said, no, I don't have any sales experience, I wouldn't have gotten the job. Instead, I was able to take what I did have and translate that into a language that he understood. And I did get that job, by the way. And so that's what we want to help people do. Look at what are the parallels. What have you done? And then use their language to describe what you've done so that they get it, so that they understand how that experience is a benefit to them.
Kathleen Brady, our guest on This Week in America. The article we're talking about is How to Get Experience Without Experience. You can link onto it directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And Kathleen's website is kvcareerplanners.com. And again, you can link onto that directly by going to our website. You do a number of examples. You've got listed the 8 critical factors to indicate job readiness. And then you've got some examples. A biology major spending hours in the lab reviewing data for the hypothesis. And you were able to, after talking with them, see that they actually fulfilled a couple of these critical job readiness skills by just being in the classroom.
Exactly. And they, you know, it's so funny because students don't always get it, particularly when they're taking classes. They go, oh, this is a waste of time. Why do I need this?
Yes.
Everything in college, I mean, there are a lot of very, very smart people you're surrounded with at the college level who've given a lot of thought to the assignments, and everything is purposeful and meant to teach you something. And it's your job to sort of figure out, well, what is this teaching? What am I learning here? And asking that question so that you can make that connection for an employer.
The critical factors, number one, is critical thinking and problem solving. You use an example. Here's a history major. She was challenged to examine why, despite the Rebel Army's military victories, they still lost the Civil War. She thinks what she's doing is just doing a paper and thinking this through and turning in like she's supposed to. She actually is showing critical thinking and problem solving skills with this.
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, it's interesting, too, because a lot of times parents and adults will say to a student who wants to be a history major, an English major, psychology major, well, what are you going to do with that? And then the student, when they walk out of school, they're thinking, well, if the job title doesn't have that word in the job history, in the job, it means that I've wasted my education. And you absolutely did not, because you've developed those critical thinking skills, the problem solving, the written, you know, the oral and written communication skills, all of those things that could be used in any number of industries or positions in the world of work.
It's interesting you bring out, here's someone who had a couple of part-time jobs in college, was involved in college, senior class president. You break that down. Okay, you fulfilled some of these. You actually have experience. It may not be getting a paycheck, but you do. Someone who studied abroad her junior year. So, in fact, and I think we might have mentioned this before, for others that are looking for a job, maybe someone who left to raise children now 8, 9 years later goes back in and they're thinking, I've got this 8, 9 year gap. Basically, they don't, because they've had skills they've used during those 8 years that are very attractive to employers.
Exactly. If you say, I stayed home and took care of my kids, and that's all you say, that's all they hear. But if you say, while I was taking care of my children, I was president of the PTA, and I oversaw a $500,000 renovation on my home, or think about the volunteer works. Think about just the you know, managing your own budget. Those kinds of things. Those are all very valuable skills. But you have, it's your job as the job seeker to tell an employer what you did and why it's relevant. You've got to be able to tell that story.
As someone is looking for the first time, we're talking specifically about college graduates now, but it does have broader application than that. You've got some tips, some suggestions. One is read job descriptions carefully. So often we look and it's like, that's not me. And upon further review, maybe that is me. Maybe I should apply for that job.
And it's interesting, too, because I always say job descriptions are written for the ideal candidate, and the ideal candidate does not exist. So they may list 10 bullets of things that they're looking for. And the reality is most people are going to have 6 or 7. And the whole purpose of the interview process is to see which 6 or 7, you know, what combination, they're all different combinations, which ones will work best for that organization. And so it really is important to try and get yourself in front of people. And as you're reading those bullets, can you think of a specific story or example from your life that you can say, yes, I can do this? And again, don't dismiss anything, even if it was a long time ago. And if you're trying to get a job as a fundraiser, and you, back in the day, were the number one Girl Scout cookie seller, you do sales. You've had a history of success doing that. But too often people go, that was such a long time ago. It doesn't really matter. What do people care? Employers are going to care about what you tell them to care about if you tell that story well and create your narrative.
And you tell people to tell that story, relate that story in the cover letter. And you hear so much conflicting information on there. And you've been in the front line on this, telling people how to do it. And you've been on the other side when you've been reading cover letters. What makes a good cover letter? Should each one be individualized, personalized for that particular job you're applying for?
Absolutely. I think people make the mistake of thinking, I'll just do a broad, 500 letters, and then I could say I've applied to 500 places.
Yes.
That it's the equivalent of getting a dear occupant letter at home. You don't pay as much attention to it as you do when it is addressed to you by name. And so you want to do your homework, again, and show the employer, this specific employer, how your skill set is valuable to them. And so there may be slightly different things, even if it's the exact same job, there may be slightly different things that you want to highlight for that particular employer. Teachers are a great example. You're applying for a job as a teacher. I mean, teaching is teaching, no matter which school district you do it in. But in one school district, they may be placing they may use a particular math a program. So to say that you have experience with that, or you know how to use whiteboard, because on their website, they say that that's a new technology that they use, right? And whereas if you're applying to another district where they don't care about that, or they haven't mentioned that, that may not be the thing you highlight. So you always want to figure out what is the most important thing to them in terms of a skill or a value, and then relate your experience to them in that way. So as individualized, and when we talk individually, it's not like you start from scratch with every single letter, but you have to customize it. There's a line or two in there that you're going to need to change. And again, you don't want to just do the information dump and tell them everything there is to know about you and then make them sort it out, because they're not going to work that hard. you've got to make it easy for them.
Or probably read that much. What is a good length for a cover letter? Obviously, multiple pages, you start getting into to problems. Yeah.
I would say 4 paragraphs tops. In your first paragraph should be something as simple as, I'm writing in response to this particular position, posted on your website and the name of it. Then that next letter, the next paragraph, you want to entice them to look at your resume and figure out why you're the best person for the job. So as a recent college graduate, a magna cum laude college graduate, it's something that makes them go, oh, okay, this person's smart. So they get that right away. And so that second paragraph tells them why they should want to meet you. The third paragraph is sort of optional if you're trying to show a connection to a particular geographic area or a particular expertise in an industry or something like that. That's where if you want to get a little bit more in depth. And then that last paragraph is, attached as my resume or included as my resume. I look forward to having the opportunity to talk to you about my skill set, and that's just 4 and make it easy to read, easy to read.
So as the eye is looking at it, it's pleasing, and someone is actually going to spend the time to read and to comprehend what you're saying. Kathleen Brady, our guest on the program, the website is kbcareerplanners.com. The book is Get a Job, 10 Steps to Career Success. We're talking about recent graduates and trying to enter the workplace. One of the suggestions, tips you have is own your own gifts, talents, and successes. And you talk about that balance between humility and confidence. Talk about how we really need to boast about what we've done, but do it in a confident way.
Absolutely. There is no place for humility in a job search. Now, I'm not suggesting that you become this huge, obnoxious braggart, but you really have got to talk about the gifts and talents that you've been given. And we all have them. And if you downplay them, it doesn't serve... does not serve the world well for you to think small. You've got to say, these are the things I'm naturally good at, and this is what I have to offer you. And you can say that in a way that is not particularly boastful, but at the same time, factual. And so if you think of it as being factual, I've had students say to me, I'd rather be humble than be braggadocious. And I said, you've got to find the sweet spot between the two. And I often think and say, and I know this, these are things I'm good at, not because necessarily of anything I've done. They're my gifts from God. And if you think of them as your gifts from God, you kind of have an obligation to use them.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if you hide them, you're not serving anybody well. So they've been given to you. Use them to be the best version of yourself that you can become.
You talk about a student finding their comfort zone and then take 2 steps outside of it. Talk about that, to use the curiosity and to be able to expand.
Right. The world is can be a scary place for a lot of people. And so you have to know where your comfort zone is. Where are you most at ease and most yourself. And then, as I say, take two steps outside of it, because two steps allows you to explore the world without taking this big gazelle leap that can be really paralyzing to people. But if you know I'm only two steps out, I can come back in when I'm starting to feel uncomfortable again. Now you begin to expand your comfort zone. And so now your comfort zone gets bigger because you've kind of enlarged the parameter. And then once you're there, then you take two more steps out. But it's always about approaching the world with a sense of curiosity. Like, you're different than I am. I'm curious about that. Why do you think that way? That, as opposed to, oh, you think that way, there's something wrong with you. You get to learn more about other people. You get to see another perspective. I mean, that's one of the things we always encourage students: travel abroad, study away. You know, get out of New Jersey for a short amount of time, get out of or wherever it is that you go to school and see the world, because it just offers you a whole new perspective on your own life and the world in which you are a global member of.
A couple minutes left in the program. This is interesting. The perceived limitations we, and I think all of us do that, put on ourselves. I'm too young. I don't have the right degree. They're hiring people from Ivy League schools, not from where I went to school. Talk about how we get over that, because we all sometimes come up with excuses and limitations that are self-imposed.
Yeah, these limiting beliefs really can keep you stuck in the mud. And so part of it is, you know, I said believing is seeing. If you believe that there is a glass ceiling for women, everywhere you look, you're going to see evidence of some woman who couldn't get ahead because of this glass ceiling. If, however, you say it's possible, it's harder for women to get ahead, but it's possible, then you start seeing the CEOs of companies and other women who've had opportunities to advance, and then you start. It becomes more hopeful. So just because it's hard doesn't mean it's impossible. So you always want to look at, where does that limiting belief come from? Is there another way to look at this situation so that you can move forward? There is always, when it comes to job hunting, we're looking for some rationale why we didn't get hired. I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too white, I'm too black, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm gay, I'm straight. Like, there's 1,000 reasons that we want to assume is the reason, because then it makes sense. And the job search process doesn't always make sense. That's part of the hard part. So you've got to just, the one key that makes people successful in this, and I've worked with people across the gamut, the one key to being successful in the job search is believing you can. Because when someone says to you, you can't because of all these other reasons, that little voice inside of you goes, yeah, you just watch me. And you figure out a way around the obstacle. And so that's always, you identify what that limiting belief is, and then ask yourself, where does it come from? Why do I believe that? What's another way to look at it? And then you map your way around it.
And you say every job seeker must be able to complete the sentence, you should hire me because. And that's good information for anybody looking in the market. The article we're talking about in particular is How to Get Experience Without Experience. Kathleen Brady, our guest on the program. Information is available at our website, kbcareerplanners.com. The book, the most recent that we've talked about in the program before, is Get a Job, 10 Steps to Career Success. The Mastering the Art of Success blog is available at her website, kbcareerplanners.com. Kathleen, time goes by too quickly. It is always a pleasure to have you in the program. Thank you for being back with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to coming back again.
We will do that. Much more to talk about. Kathleen Brady, our guest on the program. The book is Get a Job, 10 Steps to Career Success. The website, kbcareerplanners.com. Information, of course, at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.